Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we have been preaching and teaching through the book of Hebrews. Those lessons can't cover all the details, of course, so these podcasts are giving a bit more information. And today, we're in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 31. They read, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." This is a very sobering passage, because the writer to the Hebrews is wanting to encourage them and inspire them as much as he possibly can, but he also needs to, in all fairness and in love, warn them of the significance of their drifting. It seems that some have already drifted, some have already separated. That's the understanding, I think, if we read verses 24 and 25 of this chapter. And now it appears that some even oppose those who are still faithful. Woe to them. The writer is saying, do not go in their direction. Do not allow yourself to be influenced by them. And certainly, do not join them. Otherwise, there is only, in the words of verse 27, only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That only makes sense if some already are opposing the faithful. Judaism itself had already distinguished in the Old Covenant between intentional and unintentional sin. Numbers 15, verses 29 to 31. You can read that later. Somebody who knew better would be punished more strictly than the person who was ignorant of the truth. There would still be punishment, but it would be of a lighter nature for those who were ignorant. Sacrifice is certainly covered sins of ignorance, but the Old Covenant taught that there was no sacrifice that would be available for the person who deliberately rejected God's authoritative law. And it seems that the same kind of idea is being brought to bear here for these people who were drifting away from the true worship of Jesus Christ. They were going back to try and somehow perhaps synchronize Christianity and Judaism, or some variation of that. And the writer is having none of it. He says it's all or nothing, and you will have to give an account to God. God is the one who will bring the judgment and fire. God is the one who will deal with those who are apostate. God will deal with the ones who are disobedient. He uses some very strong images here. In verse 29, those who have trampled the Son of God underfoot. Rubbish was trampled down, not something valuable, and certainly not the Son of God. Same kind of idea comes out in Matthew 5:13 about how salt, when it's not salty anymore, is no good for anything but thrown out and trampled by men. And Matthew 7, verse 6, throwing pearls to swine, they may trample them under their feet. The same words are being used here, and it is a serious matter. We certainly do not want to fall into the hands of the living God when he is sitting as judge. King David experienced that. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 14 to 16. David said to Gad, "I am deep distressed. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men." But of course, when he did, then there was great grief, for there was much death. Read the passage, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 14 to 16. Well, today's podcast on these verses is somewhat more sobering, perhaps, than some of the others. But we do need that from time to time. For without soberness, there is no objectivity. And without that, there is no assessment, truly, for ourselves of where we stand before God and what we need to change. God is there to help us, and the Spirit is there to help us, and Jesus is there to help us. But let us be honest and sober, and as the writer wants his readers to do here. Well, next time, we'll go on to verse 32. Until then, if you'd like to find our church, you can find us at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org. And in iTunes, we are MCCX. Type that in and look under podcasts. And MCCX is also my Twitter feed. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.